Welcome back on this Tuesday as we continue toward week five of the college football season. Last week, there were certainly some interesting games, some interesting conclusions and results, and we have a ton more on this next blockbuster weekend as it's just week after week in college football. We're joined now by the college football professor on Tuesday, middle of the week, as he gives his thoughts on the previous weekend, and we will preview what's to come. Professor, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. As we begin, the football season gets in full swing. We're beginning to see the good teams rise to the top.
Yeah.
I remember the words, a wise man builds his house on a rock, and he is able to withstand the storm. Now, football is not a house or life, but we can learn from life principles. And a football that builds on a solid foundation can overcome adversity. And that's what we'll see as this season unfolds. Now, while we witness some teams standing strong, rising, we are seeing some teams that are having their weaknesses exposed. For instance, Jacob, West Virginia, and Arkansas's lack of a running game is an example. Yes, I know West Virginia had a ton of yards against LSU, but a lot of passing yards. But they had 29 incomplete passes in the game. Jacob, that means 29 negative plays.
They did. That's interesting you talk about that. They did have about 300 more passing yards than LSU, but you're right. How many incompletions did you say?
29.
29 incomplete. That's way too much. All right, well, let's get started. Any other thing, by the way, stand out, I should say, to you about this past weekend?
Yeah, there's a couple things. I guess we could call a couple of teams the hard luck teams. And I think of Louisiana Tech and Toledo. Now, think about it. Louisiana Tech has three losses. Those three losses are by a combined total of 9 points. With 6 of those 9 points coming in an overtime loss, which means other team scored a touchdown, and that was 6 points. So there they are, three losses. And then there's Toledo. You know, Toledo, who had Ohio State on their heels, then they go and play Syracuse. And they'd beat Syracuse, except the referees called an extra point good that was no good. So I call those the two hard luck teams.
And what did you come away with as we talk about the top teams of the nation? LSU and Alabama are considered by a lot of people to be the best two teams, although they are co-number two in one poll, and Oklahoma's number one, and then LSU jumped at Oklahoma in the AP poll. How do you look at these three teams? Who do you think is the best?
You know, I think they're pretty close, but let me use an example of how people look at things. You know, a lot of times we look at things just from a distance and don't really get down into looking at what's going on. Now, let me use an example. And Jacob, you know that we cannot compare scores to see whether one team's better than another. However, let's share an example. West Virginia defeated Maryland 37-31. Penn State defeated Temple 14-10 after they lost to Alabama. So people were saying, well, you know, looks like Penn State wasn't all that good. They barely got by Temple. Now, the conclusion that's drawn by the casual observer is that Penn State must not be very good and because Temple played them close. But West Virginia is pretty good because they beat an ACC team, Maryland, 37-31. But under the radar last week, Temple defeated Maryland 38-7. So if we want to really look at it, if we unpeel the old onion, we begin to see that there's a lot more to these teams than the casual observer usually wants to give. Let's compare schedules for.
Well, wouldn't you say though that Alabama and LSU, the opponents that they've played, have fared a little bit better than Oklahoma's? I mean, Florida State got knocked off by Clemson, and Missouri already got beat by, I believe it was Illinois a couple of weeks ago. So, wouldn't you say that Alabama, like you mentioned, West Virginia, beating Maryland, and Penn State, which beat Temple, which beat blew out Maryland. So don't you think that the two SEC teams probably have more quality wins, I should say, than Oklahoma so far?
It really looks like that a team in the Southeastern Conference has to run the gauntlet.
Yeah.
Let me just use some examples of that. I picked the top six teams that these teams played, okay? And I put them in order, what I thought was the ranking. All right, Alabama plays LSU, Florida, Arkansas, Penn State, Tennessee, and Mississippi State. Now, that's their top six. LSU plays Alabama, Florida, Oregon, Arkansas, West Virginia, Mississippi State. That's their top six teams.
Well, and you're not taking into account Tennessee, which you put on Alabama's top six, is on LSU's schedule, too, in Knoxville, and that's not even on that. So
right.
That even illustrates how deep it goes.
And then you look at Oklahoma State. Now, let's move down their top six.
Yeah.
Oklahoma State's the best team they'll play. Baylor, second. Texas, which we don't know anything about yet. FSU, which is 2-2. Texas A&M and Missouri. But if you want to expand that, think about how weak Michigan's schedule is. They're biggest opponent will be Nebraska, then Notre Dame, Michigan State University, Ohio State, Illinois, and Iowa. Or if you want to look at Boise State plays.
Yeah, I believe that would take the championship of being the weak schedule.
Georgia is their second strongest team they'll play this year. West Virginia, LSU, then their next team would be South Florida, Cincinnati, Rutgers, and Pittsburgh. I couldn't even find the sixth team for them to be a strong team. Neither could I with Boise. Boise's fifth strongest team that they'll play is Wyoming.
Well, let's go back to Boise. You said that you think Georgia will be their second strongest. That means TCU you think is stronger than Georgia.
I do.
Okay.
Here, the top five opponents I had for them is TCU, Georgia, Air Force, San Diego State, and Wyoming.
Okay. All right, let's move on to our power rankings now. You had some interesting thoughts as we go to the chalkboard segment. A little bit earlier today, you had some interesting thoughts about the national rankings as we've been discussing.
You know, Jacob, I'm always interested in how people talk about how they're going to play and what they're going to do and the motivation that they have. Again, we talked about the Southeastern Conference. Well, but we have to give credit that the Big 12 Conference is also very strong this year. But I was just thinking about, Texas A&M now is coming into the Southeastern Conference. And I was thinking of John David Crow, who played for Texas A&M. On one occasion, it's said that John David Crow fumbled a football when Coach Bryant was the coach there. And he fumbled when they were trying to secure the win. And John David, after fumbling, chased the guy down that was faster than he was and tackled him. After the game, they asked him, said, John David, how did you catch this guy who was faster than you and you were able to run him down from behind? He said, well, it's very simple. That man was running for a touchdown. I was running for my life. And so sometimes the way you approach a game can make a big difference.
Sure.
But we want to talk about the power rankings.
Okay.
All right, let's start with the SEC. I'm right now putting Alabama number one, LSU two, Florida three, South Carolina four, and Arkansas five. How do you think the rankings should be?
Well, I kind of agree with the one of the polls that had LSU and Alabama tied, because you can't really put either of those teams. I don't want to discriminate against either of those teams. I think you'd have to put Florida in there at third, and I guess South Carolina at fourth, even though I've been underwhelmed with South Carolina to this point, although last week's win, I do give them a lot of credit for beating Vanderbilt. And then Arkansas, they are a good team. They deserve to remain in there. But other than that, you don't see an SEC team that deserves to be on the board.
Well, I solved the LSU-Alabama power ranking this way.
Okay.
I put Alabama number one in the SEC, and when I came to the national ranking, I put LSU number one.
Yeah, okay.
And I used the criteria that they have defeated Oregon and West Virginia nationally. And so I said LSU is number one, Alabama two, Oklahoma three, Wisconsin four, and Boise State five.
Okay. That's fair, I think.
And just recognizing a few teams, Jacob, that I'm going to call these teams on the rise, and I'm going to say that Florida, Georgia Tech, Oklahoma State, and Washington are teams on the rise.
You have put Washington in there two or three weeks so far, and I've yet to see a Washington game, but I'm anxious to see what all the hype is about.
Well, then I have this list of teams that's on the decline.
Yeah.
Mississippi State.
Oh, my goodness.
Kentucky. Oregon State. Memphis.
Memphis? They were already at the bottom. How could they get any lower?
Well, they're going below bottom.
Okay.
And Ole Miss.
Oh, my goodness.
And then Maryland.
Yeah, Maryland pretty low, getting defeated by Temple by 100 points.
Here's an interesting statistic,
okay.
Jacob, in the conference records. And this is why I'm saying let's give the Big 12 their due.
Okay.
The conference records for teams playing outside of their conference, the Big 12 has won 26 and lost 2. That's a 92%. SEC, 25 and 4. The Big 10, 34 and 12. The Big East, 21 and 9. The Pac 10, 19 and 11. And the Mountain West, 16 and 10.
I'll give you another statistic that the Big 12 leads on. And that's most teams preserved in their conference because they've had every conference in America trying to poach, whether it was Texas, Oklahoma, Missouri, and the only one they've lost so far officially is Texas A&M. So hats off to the new commissioner out there and everybody for keeping the conference intact.
Well, you would agree, Jacob, I think, that quarterback play is pretty important.
Yeah.
And we're seeing that that some of these teams, of course, some teams are well balanced, and they need to have a good quarterback to manage their team and to make big explosive plays. Other teams need a quarterback who almost carry their team.
Yeah.
Now we see what's happening in the NFL with Peyton Manning being out. I think you'd say that the Indianapolis Colts are not the same team.
Yeah.
Then we see Eli Manning. Of course, we remember Archie Manning. Now, I don't know either one of those. I do know a guy named Danny Manning. Now, I'm not talking about the basketball player, just a guy I know.
Right.
And Danny Manning wouldn't claim to be a quarterback, or his father wasn't a quarterback.
Well, you see that with whether it's Brandon Whedon and Oklahoma State throwing for 438 yards, or Taj Boyd at Clemson having two big-time weeks. Quarterback play is becoming crucial, and I think the teams with the better quarterbacks. And I'll tell you this, Landry Jones had an interesting day the other day. It's not a good day against – everybody wanted to crown Landry Jones one of the best quarterbacks in the nation. I don't want to go there just yet. I think his game against Missouri the other night was very, very shaky at best. All right, let's move on to our predictions and what we think – who – the games that we think will we're doing pretty well, I think, so far in our percentage-wise, right?
That's right.
Okay.
The loss last week, though, was the one that I missed last week was Duke defeated Florida.
You need to stop picking Duke.
Yeah.
You need to just stop right now.
Yeah. So, but let's look at this week.
And I missed, by the way, just for full disclosure, I missed West Virginia. I thought they would beat LSU.
Well, I was able to pick LSU, so I'm glad they won, and that did help. But let's look at this week's games. LSU, I'm picking LSU over Kentucky. It's being played at Tiger Stadium.
Right.
And Jacob, you might be aware of the fact that LSU leads this series 38-16-1.
Well, and one of those 16, of course, as everybody remembers, was the big play. Play that stopped, well, I think it was an overtime game that stopped LSU when they were on a run for a national championship in 2007. But how about LSU? One of their wins was the Hail Mary. So this game has some interesting twists that you never can figure out. But having said all that, there's no question LSU's going to win this game.
I'm the South Carolina Auburn game. Now, South Carolina over Auburn at Williams-Brice Stadium in Columbia, South Carolina. I just think there's going to be too much of Alshon Jeffrey and Marcus Lattimore. Now, Auburn leads this series 8-1, but I still think that South Carolina will win this game.
You know, for Stephen Garcia, this may be a dream come true. The way you can get better in a hurry is play Auburn's defense. I think that's a way you can back up some statistics. Yeah, I like South Carolina in this one. I don't think they forgot that 56-17 whipping that Auburn put on them in the SEC championship game.
Now, this pick might surprise you a little bit, but I'm picking Tennessee to defeat Buffalo. Now, this being played in Knoxville.
Mm.
Now, I know that they have never met before. They've never played. But Tennessee has a 5-0 record versus the MAC. But you got to remember that Buffalo didn't join the MAC until 1999. But I don't care if it's the Buffalo Bulls, which they are, or whether the Buffalo Chicken Wings. I believe Tennessee will win this game.
But Buffalo just beat the New England Patriots for the first time since 2003, so they're going to win this game, right? No,
well,
I'm going to take Tennessee as well.
Alabama and Florida. This is being played at Florida Field. Alabama leads this series 22-14. But I'm going to pick this year Alabama to defeat Florida. And you know, when we look at the fact that Alabama is in the computer rankings, Alabama's number one and Florida is number five in the computer rankings. Now, computer rankings doesn't mean a whole lot, but nonetheless, that tells us something.
Well, we have Nick Saban, who coaches the second overall defense in the country, and we have Will Muschamp, who coaches the fifth overall defense. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of defense played. And I think a key for Alabama is containing Chris Rainey and Jeff Dimps. I believe they will do that. Florida, though, I think this game's going to come down to two crucial stats: turnovers and third down play. Turnovers, you know, both teams are pretty equal on the year as far as how many times they've turned the ball over. Third down play, Florida has the best third down defense in the country, only allowing other teams to convert 21% of the time. I think if Florida's defense can get Alabama into some nice third and longs and force A.J. McCarron to possibly get out of what the scripted game plan is and improvise, it could spell problems for Alabama. I like Florida in this game at home.
Well, Florida did defeat Alabama the last time that Alabama visited Florida Field, 28-13. But Alabama has won two straight for the last two games that they played. I'm staying with Alabama. Georgia and Mississippi State.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, this is the battle of the Bulldogs.
Yeah.
And last year, if I remember correctly, Mississippi State defeated Georgia 24-12. But, you know, Jacob, the last time that Mississippi State beat Georgia in Athens was 1956. So I'm going to go with the Georgia Bulldogs.
Hard for me to go against Georgia at home. I may regret this, but I'm going to pick Georgia as well.
Florida International University and Duke.
You better be careful about picking Florida International.
I'm going to stay with them this week one more time. I'm going to give them one more chance. I'm going to pick Florida International University to defeat Duke. Now, you understand that Duke is one win and 15 losses in their 16 games that they played in the state of Florida. But now, this is the first time they've ever played Florida International University. But I'm going to pick the Golden Panthers of Florida International University to defeat the Duke Blue Devils in their at Florida International University's stadium with 18,000 packing in to see the Duke Blue Devils.
Well, I don't know if we need to bill Duke for this time because we talk about him every week here, but I'm going to stick with Florida International as well, even though they did drop that game last week to Louisiana Lafayette.
Virginia Tech and Clemson.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick Virginia Tech. Now, this is a big game.
It is.
But Clemson has won seven of the last nine games that they played in Blacksburg. That's a pretty good record for Clemson to have a 7-2 record in Blacksburg. Mm-hmm. Nonetheless, I'm going to stick with the Virginia Tech Hokies to win this game.
It's hard for me to go against Virginia Tech in any game played at 6 o'clock Eastern in Lane Stadium, and I believe that they will take care of business and Clemson will suffer its first loss.
Next game is Slippery Rock playing Clarion University of Pennsylvania. I'm going to pick Slippery Rock to defeat the Golden Eagles. It's being played at Thompson Stadium in Slippery Rock, Pennsylvania. But, Jacob, you might know that Satterfield has rushed for 412 yards in the first four games this year for Slippery Rock. And Devin Gauda has caught 26 passes for 322 yards. I'm picking Slippery Rock to win this game.
Yeah, I will too.
The next game is Penn State University playing at Memorial Stadium in Bloomington, Indiana. Penn State University has won 14 and lost none versus Indiana. So I'm going to stick with Penn State and pick them to beat Indiana.
Well, Indiana couldn't even beat North Texas, so of course Penn State will win this game. A nice bounce back game for Penn State.
Our last game will be Georgia Tech and North Carolina State. Now, Jacob, I don't know if you know this or not, but Johnson, the coach of Georgia Tech, is 0-2 versus North Carolina State. It's being played at North Carolina State. However, I'm sticking with Georgia Tech and their running attack with their long pass that they're utilizing for several long gains this year.
Yeah, I'm going to take Georgia Tech as well. I think that for all the reasons you mentioned, I think they will have their way with North Carolina State. Well, it's been another good segment with the professor, as we have every Tuesday here. Appreciate him stopping by. We'll be with you next week. A lot of great games this weekend, and we'll try to keep track of all of them for you. Professor, thanks for stopping in.
You're welcome.
We'll see you tomorrow.